powering Michigan's future.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future comes to you live from the Yankee Rebel Tavern on Hoban Streets in beautiful Mackinac Island during the 2013 Mackinac Policy Conference. I'm Ken Burgoski. Get ready for an action-packed hour and an entertaining one, because tonight we'll discuss many of the proposed initiatives for our region and talk with leaders about what's being done to move Michigan forward. Our guests tonight include county executives Heckle and Fecano, Barbara Rossman, president and CEO of Henry Ford Macomb Hospitals, Gene Redfield, CEO of Next Energy, Dan Tripp, executive vice president of the National Electrical Contractors Association, and our sponsor tonight, Michael Richard, business manager of IEBW Local 58, and many, many more. So stay tuned for WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, live from the 2013 Mackinac Policy Conference, only on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period.
Welcome back to Mackinac Island. We're broadcasting live tonight from the Yankee Rebel Tavern as we power Michigan's future. Joining us tonight is Dan Tripp, Executive Vice President of the Southeastern Michigan Chapter of the National Electrical Contractors Association, NECA, and Michael Richards, the Business Manager for International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW Local 58, and our sponsor for tonight, and our sponsor for the show. Good to see you both. How you doing?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you.
Glad to be here, too.
It's been a good conference for you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Overall, Michigan seems to be leading the nation. As a matter of fact, there was a Wall Street Journal poll that came out that Michigan is leading all of the 50 states in its comeback. How's business for you guys, Michael?
It's definitely getting better, and we're really excited about what's coming up. There's a lot on the horizon, and it's definitely a good time to be here doing business in Michigan.
Dan, how's business for you guys?
Could be better. You know, it has improved over the last few years, but quite honestly, it's not quite back to the levels we've been used to in previous years.
But it's moving forward at least a little bit.
It's moving forward, yes.
There's been a lot of talk about collaboration at the conference this year. Tell us about labor and management collaborations, Michael, in your organization.
Well, we've always enjoyed a great relationship with our partners at NECA, and it just gets stronger and stronger as years go on in this. More adversity we get faced with, it strengthens the relationship. So we're definitely glad to have the partners we have, and we're excited about the future and moving forward with them.
So basically, you have a pretty good communication between yourself and your clients and your membership to say, hey, look, we need a little help here. We need a little tweak there. What can you do for us?
Absolutely. And that's what it's about, communication and making sure everybody's together on these things.
Dan, same thing with you?
Absolutely. More than anything, I think what we try to do together is identify the new markets that are developing out there, especially with the changing economy. As Michigan grows and develops, and the change from the automobile industry that's occurred, we're trying to make sure that we're on the forefront of those markets and knowing and introducing ourselves to those new people and those new technologies, all that new business, being a whole part of that.
Any examples of some of the new business that you're getting?
Well, you know, we were probably on the forefront with a lot of the electrical vehicle charging stations, and we're currently involved with the advanced lighting training programs that are being developed right now for some of the new high-tech lighting systems that are being developed. Over at our training center, we've set up a series of examples so that clients of either the contractors I represent or industry officials can come in and see what's out there and what's available. So we're prepared, we're ready, we've got the workforce trained, and we're moving forward in those areas.
Is this the training center in Macomb County?
That's the one on the have you been there?
No, I'm dying to see this because I've heard some fabulous things about it.
It's state-of-the-art, probably one of the finest training centers in the country, if not the finest, about 50,000 square feet of just about any electrical technology that's in the forefront, we're out there teaching it, learning it, and passing it on to the public and the workforce that we employ.
So there really is a big difference between the high-tech lighting of today and the lighting that I grew up with as a kid?
Absolutely. You know, it used to be you come in the room and flip a switch.
Right.
Today you have all different types of lighting. You have lighting, smart lighting that detects presence of people in the room, specific task lighting for certain times of day to enhance people's vision and their ability to work, and or to save energy and be efficient in that area. A big thing these days is LED lighting, which is a long way from the incandescent bulbs, which are both energy efficient, cheaper to run, and more long-lasting.
I even noticed some streetlights now in certain boulevards have LED lights as streetlights now. It's amazing.
It's the new technology, and it allows for a lot more customization of the lighting application wherever it might be applied, whether it be outdoors, indoors, and you even see it on automobiles now.
Yeah, that's true. The LEDs in the front. Dan, what do you feel are some of the barriers to projects moving forward? What are your contractors running into, certain problems?
The two biggest issues, I think, that we deal with, one is the economic uncertainty that exists generally in terms of where the country is going. There's a lot of people with the Affordable Care Act that are holding back on their business development plans, waiting to see what happens there. Plus the fact that we're trying to deal with the new economy that's developing here in Michigan. And until people begin to make some investment decisions and develop their businesses and their industries, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. No one is moving. No one's investing as much as they might.
That's true. Everybody wants to make sure they've got money in the bank, too. Dan, Michael, we've got a break coming up quickly, but you recently launched the new Storm Watch Training Lab at your training center. Tell us something about this.
We're very excited about that. It's been a collaborative effort between us at the JETC, our training center, and our good friends at DTE. And the goal is to get as many of our members trained in responding to these storms and getting the power restored back to the people and the community as soon as possible and as safe as possible.
Dan Tripp, Executive Vice President of the Southeastern Michigan Chapter of the National Electronic Contractors Association, and Michael Richard, Business Manager for IBEW Local 58, our sponsor for tonight. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Powering Michigan's Future, and great rest of the conference.
Thanks, sir.
We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Mackinac Island. I'm Ken Wargolski, hosting tonight WJR's Powering Michigan's Future from the 2013 Mackinac Policy Conference. And it's just a pleasure to introduce our next guest, Macomb County Executive Mark Hackle. You've kind of made your home, not here in Macomb, but here on Mackinac Island. You've been here, three, 4 days now.
Yes, it's been my home for the last 3 days, but it's been a pleasure to be here. I mean, just exciting. So many people that are here in kind of this confined space. I form a life in law enforcement. I kind of look at this as Macatraz.
You
know, it's like everybody's a prisoner on the island. They can't get away from you.
But you don't carry your handcuffs anymore. You don't carry your gun anymore.
No. But you know where to find everybody.
That's true. So. They still look at you and they say, "Oh, he could still arrest us."
You can't hide.
And how's the conference been for you so far?
It's been great. And why I say that is because of the ability to reach out and talk to the business community, the political community. You know, there's a lot of people that are trying to figure out how do we deal with policies and things that are happening and kind of getting suggestions and ideas. But for me in Macomb County, it's about trying to figure out how do we get the investment interest in Macomb County. And the private sector has been absolutely incredible in their interest in Macomb County over the last couple of years. And I get to make those connections while I'm here.
A lot of people think this is just a three-day junket. But when you really look behind the scenes and all of a sudden you get to talk to the Oakland County people, the Marquette County people, everybody from Michigan, and you put a face with a voice and you make some kind of bond, it really does help the deal-making go through quicker.
There is absolutely no question about it. I mean, the various conversations we have when we're in a setting, you know, you have the big four events or whatever, that's just, you know, the conversation, that soundbite that you get to give when somebody asks you a question. There are so many connections you have and people that you're talking to, and you get to see them kind of with their guard down, if you will. You get to have true conversations, honest dialogue about things that you would like to see and things that are happening in your area. And I got to tell you, the whole time I've been here, it's not been about partisan politics. It's about how do we move Macomb County, the region, and the state of Michigan forward, depending on who you're talking to. And, boy, Macomb County is getting a lot of attention and good attention. And it's because we realize, you know what, let's break down that barrier. Let's talk about what Macomb County is all about. Let's kind of raise our value, tell people what we have as far as what we offer to the region, but also to let people know we are, without question, supportive of being a regional asset and the regional assets within the region and the state of Michigan as well. So We're excited.
For the first time this year, there won't be a Big Four, but there was a Big Four this morning on Frank Beckman's show. It sounded like you guys were back in the spirit of things again.
We had a good time, and Brooks is always funny. He was taking pokes at my sign that was up on 75. I'm a little bit worried about driving by it. I heard he kind of got up on there or had somebody get up down there and drew a mustache or something on my picture. That's what he's telling me. I'm not sure.
One of the rumors I heard is that the rumor got back to him that they were going to loosen the bolts on his wheelchair, that you and Fakana were back there trying to monkey around. See, I'm not going up there.
He's a good guy. I feel bad. I really wish he was here because he adds a lot of flavor, I guess, to what's going on with these in this various parties and conversations you have. So he's been great to me. So has Oakland County. I mean, we had a recent setback. There's a lot of good things going on in Macomb County, but I can't help mention that little fire we had over there. But I tell you, with every setback, there's huge opportunities. And in Macomb County, we're going to have one of the state-of-the-art IT systems in Macomb County than anywhere in the entire country because of the support we've been getting from people like AT&T, Oakland County, and those that really wanted to help us with that outreach. And, boy, I tell you, his staff was absolutely incredible in helping us getting this back up and running. And even Macomb Community College, and Jim Jacobs is going to be on the show here shortly, but they offered us our we're going to have a secondary site now, and it's going to be located at Macomb Community College in their IT center. Macomb County is going to have one heck of an IT center.
Another example of you guys working together.
Absolutely.
It's still eerie to go by the old Macomb County building and see all the trucks and the generators.
Yeah.
Give us a quick status report. How you doing?
Well, I tell you what, we're going to be in great shape. What's going to be happening with that building is something that should have happened. It was not up to code because it was grandfathered in, but it's going to be up to code someday, but really it gave us a chance to really start moving people into the proper locations they need to be in, build out facilities. Our communication center, which is going to be state-of-the-art, we'll be unveiling that probably at the end of the year. It's going to have every police, fire, dispatch situation available for the public and take care of a lot of needs, and also Department of Roads, emergency management, and IT. It's something that's going to be recognized not only throughout the state, but throughout the country.
And this is all the television screens you showed us over at the Welch building over on Grosbeck?
Yeah, absolutely incredible communication
system. That is going to be some kind of thing. And when you get that up and running, you have to let us know. We're going to have to do something special.
We will have a grand opening for that. And again, I got to thank the state of Michigan for the support they gave us on that, because they gave us a grant for $1.5 million. And it was one of the largest grants the state has ever offered for a consolidation project. And we were able to get that and helped us offset some costs there.
I'll tell you, it looks like Star Trek in there. Here, we're wrapping up here. Tomorrow's the last day. Governor Snyder will give his keynote tomorrow at 11 o'clock. What are you going to take home with you that you learned here to help make government better, run more smooth down in Macomb County?
But you know what? I got to tell you, Macomb County is running very well. I mean, this new form of government gave us an opportunity to really set the pace and set the tone for the county, identify it as a brand. And I've been doing just that. I look at my new job and my new role basically as somewhat of a marketing director for the county. You get to put a face on the county. I get to be the person that's at first contact and trying to figure out how do we get people to really say, you know what, this is where I want to make Macomb my home, whether it's for business and or for somebody to want to live there. But when we look at a financial setting that we've got, we're AAA bond rated. We got over $80 million surplus set for us right now. Macomb County is in great financial shape, not only for now, but into the future with our projections. So we're doing good. Some municipalities are, you know, having some challenges. But we're working with them, and we're trying to help them through those problems as well.
But in the past couple of census reports, it's been noted that you guys are getting a nice pop, nice boost in population.
There's a lot of value added in moving to Macomb County, and I think people are moving there, and you're right. We're one of the largest growing counties in the state of Michigan, and the reason for that is, I got to believe, it's the affordable housing. It's the safe neighborhoods. It's the quality of education that people can get. It's our premier two-year institution, Macomb Community College for Higher Education, that not only takes care of that two-year degree, but also brings in other university settings where people can get a higher degree right here in Macomb County through Macomb Community College with their articulation agreements that they have as well.
And you got all that nice blue water there. You get some folks from the west counties to come over and spend time and money in your part of town.
Quality of life opportunities. I mean, we talk about, you know, what's going on in Oakland and Wayne County and the advantages we have, and I love to do that. I love to talk about the fact that people in Macomb County, for the reasons of what they truly enjoy about Macomb County, 31 and a half miles of coastline, the freshwater, the greatest lake of all the Great Lakes, and it's the busiest. We call it the gathering place of the Great Lakes Waterway System, and that's Lake St. Clair. In fact, they're having a bass fishing tournament out there this year. It's the elite bass fishing tournament. It's the Super Bowl of bass tournaments. And one of the guys, Kevin Van Dam, who's the best bass fishing tournament player ever, he says that this is the greatest bass fishery in the entire country or on the planet, is Lake St. Clair. So what I tell people is we have some badass bass in Lake St. Clair.
make your bass home over.
That's right. So, but again, you know,
there's
point
another
being
slogan
is,
for you, Mark.
I'm working on one, trust me. But again, we open up Freedom Hill Amphitheater, and that they're going to have Lady.
Now they're fully
there.
Operational for this year.
Huey Lewis is going to be, you know, they're going to have festivals and events at that downtown Mount Clemens. They've got the new venue there that used to be the Macomb Theater, became Emerald Theater, and is now back in the Macomb Theater. They're running concerts there. This place looks like a mini Fox Theater, and again, it's another regional asset. There are a lot of things that we're doing to talk about as far as assets in Macomb County that give people a reason to say, I want to live in Macomb, but they also have access to other regional assets, like the four major sporting venues that we have, you know, the arts and entertainment, the zoo, the Riverwalk in the city of Detroit. If people haven't seen that, Faye Martin, what she's doing down in the city of Detroit, we need to start looking at this area, not just as Macomb, Oakland, Wayne, or City of Detroit, but as a region. And I'm telling you, Macomb is making a regional, just like we said on the billboard.
I got to ask you, before we run out of time, I've heard about all these billboards you've got up and on I-75. I haven't seen them. Describe them quickly.
Very quickly. The first one was a picture of a tank coming through the actual paper itself that says, Macomb, strong on defense. The very next one had a picture of me coming through the actual billboard itself, and it says, Macomb, making it regional. That one in particular was because of the support we got with the state of Michigan. They just awarded us a $231,000 grant to be the lead on trying to help promote, market, and attract business into a strong defense economic opportunity we have here and have had since World War II. So we're growing that not just for Macomb County, but for the region and the state of Michigan. And Mike Finney and the governor's office gave us a great opportunity here to take that lead.
You weren't in the tank, were you?
No, I wasn't. That was a Dukakis thing years ago, and it actually was down in the city of Warren, and that was a failed move on his part. I remember reading that in my history book back in high school. I could still see that picture with him and that helmet on. So, but no, I would not take that kind of a photo.
Now, you also have, before timers out, you got a black Ford Escape that's running around with all kinds of nice pictures on the window. It blew past me doing about 90 miles an hour. I don't know who was driving, but they certainly weren't a happy here during the year.
That must have been somebody else. I would never do that.
Mark Heckle, Macomb County Executive, thank you for joining us tonight on Powering Michigan's Future. Have a great time, and
thanks, Ken. Keep up
the good work in Macomb County. Great to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Ken Rogalski hosting from Mackinac at the Yankee Rebel Tavern as Powering Michigan's Future continues after these words.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period.
And welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, live from the 2013 Mackinac Policy Conference on beautiful Mackinac Island. I'm Ken Rogalski, and we have a panel here for you tonight. First, Wayne County Executive Robert Ficano. Bob, you're looking okay.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. As the policy conference rolls on, what kind of stood out for you as being something special this day?
Well, I think a couple things. Number one is the educational emphasis that we've seen at the conference. I think that's important because I've been on seven trade missions to China, Middle East, Europe, and the competition is fierce in terms of what they're doing with their youngsters. They're pushing them, they're promoting them, and letting them really advance. And I think there's a real emphasis to get our youngsters, especially, and they're more difficult subjects, but math and science, the engineering, the technology that gets them to drive them, that's going to make a difference for the global economy.
Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush was at the first day and just got a lot of attention. He's basically saying if by third grade they don't know how to read and write, we've got a problem. And he's not really much for social promotion. He would rather hold them back, get the job done, and make sure they understand the basics.
Well, you know, it makes all the sense in the world. First of all, if you can't read, no matter what you want to do, you're not going to be successful. You want to be a lawyer, you want to be a doctor, a pharmacist, an electrician, electrical contractor, anything. If you can't read, you're not going to be able to be successful. And when you're comfortable at reading, it feeds on itself. It opens up that whole avenue of wanting to learn and wanting to advance because you're comfortable, not struggling just to understand what the words mean.
What I mean immediate policy changes are going to come out of this that you might be able to implement over at Wayne County?
Well, we're pushing real hard on changing. We need a proposal AMOMA for local finances because what's happened is I get this question all the time. How come the state seems to be doing so well in their balance? They got a $1 billion surplus.
That was one of my questions.
And one of the things that you see that happens is that the local municipalities are going down. That's because we depend on property taxes. Wayne County, because of the bubble bursting in the housing market, lost $100 million since 2009.
And it's going to take a long time to get that revenue.
We're limited to 5% a year increase. I mean, the Constitution is set up with the presumption that the property values would always go up. They never anticipated them crashing like this. And the state benefits because the auto industry has come back. So all those new jobs, you know, like I said, 1,200 jobs at Flat Rock, the Wayne Assembly Plant, all these other locations, those people are all signed up for income taxes. All that money goes to the state. Sales tax all goes to the state. They get, when Ford hands out those $8,000 bonuses, they go out and buy things. That sales tax goes to the state. So that's why you see this big gulf between what there is and the haves and have-nots of what it's come down to.
So quickly, are you suggesting maybe it's time to change the revenue sharing?
Revenue sharing is the key, because if they would have, if the state would have kept to its commitment of revenue sharing, and the history, just real quick, Ken, of revenue sharing is that there used to be all sorts of little taxes. You go to Chicago like it is today, they charge you something separately if you're in Chicago, Cook County versus other places. Michigan used to be like that. State of Michigan said, guess what? Start all these little taxes, we'll have a universal collection, and we'll redistribute it back, revenue sharing back to the local municipalities. They universally collected it, but it hasn't kept up with the formula of redistributing it back.
Now, something we got to work on in the future. Also joining us tonight, we welcome Gene Redfield, the CEO of Next Energy. Welcome, Gene. Good to meet you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great to have you. How's the conference been for you?
It's been great. Mackinac always gives us a great opportunity to connect with our funding stakeholders, the collaborators around the state for us. It's a great place to be.
So what's going on at Next Energy?
Oh, all kinds of great stuff. As you know about Next Energy, we're part of the Economic Development Engine of Michigan and part of the Innovation District in Midtown Detroit. We've got a number of companies incubating their businesses in our facility, as well as a number of technology platforms where companies are coming together to demonstrate their technologies.
Now, did I hear this right, that on June 18th, you've got something called a workplace charging? I thought it meant us changing, but it, I
no,
did say
it's
charging.
A charging event.
Charging event. Okay.
Clearly, with electric vehicles being sold across the country, lots of folks are charging them at home, but the next best place to charge your electric vehicle is at work. And we're finding that the best companies to work for, they are actually offering workplace charging at the workplace as a way to attract the 21st century employees. And so we're hosting an event on June 18th at the Next Energy Center to help the companies in all over the Midwest learn about workplace charging, understand how it's done, understanding how they can get some help doing it well, and then what it might mean to their employees.
So it doesn't take a long time to charge an electric car.
It depends on the electric car. But it's not going to be as fast as filling it with a fossil fuel, that's for sure. And that's why workplace charging is so important, because most people spend 6 to 8 hours parked in the same place at work, and so workplace charging is a great way to get that vehicle filled.
And once somebody gets a charging station at home, can they still charge the car overnight and be ready for the next
morning? Absolutely. In fact, what we're finding is most people end up with their electric vehicle charged most of the time because they're a little paranoid about their
I don't know why.
So they end up charging it everywhere they can. Yeah, kind of like their cell phone, making sure that it's on that charging. But anyway, the workplace charging event's coming up June 18th. It's open to anybody who wants to register. They can register at nextenergy.org/workplace charging. We've got very thankful to our sponsors, GM, Pure Michigan, of course, Clean Energy Coalition, and the Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Training Program.
That would be interesting. I'd like to show up. I'd like to come.
Great. We'd love to see you there.
I can even bring my iPhone, and we can charge that up too.
Yeah, sounds great.
Oh, Gene, thanks for stopping by. Another one of our guests tonight, Jim Jacobs, from the president of Macomb Community College. Thanks for stopping by. Your counterpart was just here a couple of minutes ago.
Yes, Mark Heckel, yes.
Did he do a good job?
Oh, he does a great job. He's a graduate of Macomb Community College, was on the faculty at Macomb Community College, so he's one of our really proud alumni.
I got to tell you, as a kid, I was on the debate team. I was sort of the nerd. And we had a debate club, and we performed over at Macomb Community College. And walking in that place as a kid in high school, it was the biggest building in the world.
Well, yeah, we're still growing. We have three campuses, over 48,000 students. So we're, I think community colleges have been discovered, and they're really a good starting point for anyone who wants to get a four-year degree, anyone who wants to get a good-paying job, getting into the kind of the stuff that Gene is doing, and you know, and I think we're playing a very positive role in the metropolitan area for economic development.
It also seems that community colleges are a great place for kids to start who may be a little intimidated by the large campus life at a major university.
Yes, I mean, I think one of the things which we're learning about college is that there are lots of choices and lots of programs, etc., but that also can confuse people. So one of the things we're trying to do is simplify the introduction from high school, you know, to the college. We're also moving our courses really into the high schools. We have about 500 students from Macomb County High Schools attending what we call our early college.
So is this sort of like a college with training wheels, maybe?
Well, it's a college. No, they get credit, college credit, but they get the experience of being in a post-secondary institution, so they know what's expected of them, what kind of level of work they need to do, and, you know, what kind of reaction occurs, you know, when they're in the classroom, etc. And this has been very, very successful for us. We want to do more of that. I think what you're seeing, and you know, Gene talked a little bit about just the reaction to the conference, what you're seeing is the traditional demarcations between high school, college, jobs, they're all sort of fading. And, you know, we see some high school students who can advance right into colleges, do college level work. We also see the need for a lot of our students to get employment experience, get some kind of internship, work-based experience. That gives them a sense of the real world. One of the things that we're very knowledgeable about is how change is occurring in our own economy. The jobs that are going to be in the future, the jobs that Gene's group is, you know, kind of, you know, dealing with,
changes
are not
right
stuff,
your eyes.
You know, not things that are things that are some of our faculty know about. So we're looking forward to that kind of change.
Before we run out of time, Jim, how are the kids adapting to this pre-college type of program?
They do very well. They, you know, they go into regular classes. They're a little intimidated at first, but one of the things which one of them said, which I thought was very, very good, is that they said, my parents treat me better as a result of me being a student.
All right. Jim Jacobs, the president of Macomb Community College, thank you for joining us. Wayne County Executive Bob Ficano, always a pleasure to meet you. Gene Renman from Next Energy, thank you for joining us on Powering Michigan Future. You guys were terrific. Have a great conference.
Thank you.
Ken Bergulski, broadcasting live from the Mackinac Policy Conference here on Powering Michigan's Future. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR.
Welcome back to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, live from the 2013 Mackinac Policy Conference. We're broadcasting live from the front window of the Yankee Rebel Tavern. Next time you come up here, you got to check this place out. It is just cozy as anything. You'll love it, and the food is fantastic. Joining us tonight, Barbara Rossman, President and CEO of Henry Ford Macomb Hospitals, Maria Salomino Sherman, President of Omega Solutions, David Girardot, President CEO of Fifth Third Bank. But first, Maria, we're going to start with you. Maria Shilamarenos Sherman, I understand you got a boat to catch, so we're going to put you to the front
Thank
of the
you.
Line.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks for joining us. I know you've been busy.
Very.
Omega Solutions is what?
What we are is a human resource provider. We provide payroll services, human resource support to businesses, not only in Michigan, but throughout the country. We're in several countries outside the U.S. as well. We issue about 30,000 W-2s on an annualized basis.
Wow.
I know, we're busy. And my husband and I are a team. He's actually our CEO, Craig Sherman.
So I notice he's not here tonight.
No.
He's doing the hard work. Huh?
He is doing the hard work back home. Absolutely. Absolutely.
How's things in Macomb County? We've been hearing Mark Hackle things just say things are great. Jim Jacobs at Macomb County Community College said things are booming. How's business for you?
We are actually growing. We've been growing double-digit every single year. We started the business in 1999. In 2007, we actually went national and subsequently international. So business has been exceeding really well for us. We're constantly bringing on additional employees to help support the business as well. So it's all good for us.
Nice problem to have.
It is. It's great.
Now, coming out of the conference, what are some things you can take home with you to help build business even more?
You know, I talk a lot to our legislators and find out what's going on in our community and tell them what's very important to us. But my role here is primarily networking and talking to the people that we do business with. I sit on several boards within Macomb County and talking to the people that I work with every day.
I mean, talking to your customers, that's one of the cardinal things you got to do to have a successful business.
Love it. Our customers have become, we've built such strong relationships with our customers over the years that we've actually become very good friends with many of our customers as well. So it's been an amazing journey.
Wonderful problem to have.
Yeah.
I know you got to run. Maria Shilamano Sherman, President of Omega Solutions, thank you for joining us on Powering Michigan's Future tonight.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip across.
Thanks.
And have a safe journey back to Macomb County, which you call your home now.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Maria. Our next guest tonight, let's start with Barbara. Barbara, welcome to WJR's Power Michigan Future. Barbara Rossman is the President and CEO of Henry Ford Health Systems and Henry Ford Macomb Hospital. Thanks for coming.
Ken, thank you very much.
Glad you could make it. The hospital business doing well in Macomb County?
Actually, we're doing very well in Macomb County. I think what's very exciting for us now is with all the changes happening in healthcare, what's exciting truly in Macomb County is our ability to work with the vision that Mark has in Macomb County toward making Macomb your home and health and wellness. That's all part of that and all the effort and energy there, because clearly healthcare is a member of the community, an asset of the community, and a partner in the community. And we need to make sure that what we do aligns with what our communities are delivering as well.
You know, the big changes coming down the pike. Obamacare is going to be starting soon. At this conference, healthcare was the top of the agenda from Macomb County, Michigan. Are you guys getting ready for all of this?
We are. We're actively engaged with it. And I think the biggest policy issue for us, not only within Henry Ford Health System and for Macomb County, but also for the state of Michigan and nationally, is the new Medicaid, what's called Medicaid expansion, or in Michigan, we're calling it Medicaid reform.
Now, this is the Medicaid reform that's still trying to get through the legislature.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And just from a statistics perspective, currently Medicaid in Michigan covers individuals that are at 67% of the federal poverty level, which is about $12,500 a year for a family of four, if you can imagine.
No.
This expansion reform is projected to go to 133% of the federal poverty level, which would cover families of four earning $30,000 for a year. So in Michigan, that's about, if we look at Macomb County specifically, we would add about another 37,500 families onto the rolls for Medicaid. In Michigan, we're talking about over 400,000 people that would be eligible.
In Macomb County, are you guys ready to take on that extra 3,700 families?
We are. We are. If you look at the health systems in Macomb, Henry Ford Macomb as well, we are. We have primary care physicians, and the primary care physicians are prepared with the development of the medical homes and also the expanding their practices with mid-level providers, whether they be nurse practitioners or physician assistants, to be able to take on this expanded work.
So will patients see a major change in 2014 when Obamacare kicks in?
Well, assuming we can pass Medicaid reform in Michigan, we will see a tremendous change to the current uninsured and our most vulnerable residents right now, because they will have access to primary care, and that'll avoid the cost that's currently being incurred with healthcare systems in the ERs and inappropriate admissions, because people wait to the very end.
Right, when they're sick, they come
care.
In, you
got to
see, you got to fix
And they
fix
need
them.
To be more proactive, and this provides that opportunity for proactivity rather than being reactive.
I'm dying to see when this is going to happen, because this has got to be the biggest single change that our country has seen in our lifetime.
I agree. I think it's absolutely necessary. It's critical for us. For Macomb County, it'll really help us, again, work collectively and in partnership together to realize that vision that Mark's laid out there as well.
Great. Barbara Rossman, President and CEO of Henry Ford Health Systems and the Henry Ford Macomb Hospitals, thank you for joining us tonight. Great
thank
to see you.
Thank you very much,
Have
Ken.
A great conference. Have a safe trip home.
Thank you.
Our next guest is a guy I have heard for years and years and years. We met one time, and we never really sat and chatted. David Girardot, who's the president and CEO of Fifth Third Bank. thanks for joining us tonight. Great to see you.
Great to see you, Ken. Good evening.
I love the sign change over on your big building on John Lodge.
You know,
I watched that thing go up in bits and pieces.
We're big sign guys. We like to put a statement out there and make ourselves visible.
Well, this one's easier to read. I can understand it now.
You got to love LED lighting.
And it saves you money, too. How's the banking business?
I say banking business continues to get better every day. We're very excited where we are as an organization here in Eastern Michigan and at a state level. And my biggest reason for being here today is, or at the conference, is where can my organization help in changing outcomes? You know, starting with the top of the house and meeting with the legislatures, you know, hearing from the governor, you know, talking to the treasurer, and the trickle down, and then talking to business people out there and say, where do we fit as an organization? And it's not just about, you know, doing business and making money as an organization. That comes as part of the process. It's the relationships being established to help us change outcomes for the good of the cause. And the Fifth Third is so committed to the state of Michigan, people have to realize we have a significant amount of assets, and we need the state to do well. We need the region to do well. We need Detroit to do well. We need Macomb County, which is my home, to do well. You know, and we're very excited. The timing is great for this state to continue to lead across the country versus follow.
Money's still available. There's no problem there.
Money is very much available. In fact, the biggest challenge we have today is finding enough places to put the money and put it to work in the right situations. It will never go backwards, Ken. I always have to put that caveat. We're always going to be safe and sound. We're going to do the right things for the benefit of the stockholders, the taxpayers. But banks want to do business today, not just Fifth Third, everybody.
But they want to make sure they get paid back, too. But it does you no good sitting in the vaults and in the reserves. You got to get it out there.
You've got to put it to work, and that's another reason here today. Where are the opportunities? Is it healthcare we see growth? Is it higher education? You know, education being a key element of things we saw today. You know, we want to be involved in those industries that are going to show development in Eastern Michigan and change and improve overall outcomes. As said.
Last half hour, we talked about a statistic that was in the Wall Street Journal about how Michigan is number one in the nation for turnaround states. Not New York, not California, not Texas. It is the Great Lakes State.
You know, incredible stat that I love to brag about and take that with, you know, as an organization, it's in 14 states, 18 markets. I like to wave those type of articles around and let people know that we were the comeback. We're no longer the comeback state. We're the turnaround state, and we're the leaders.
I'd print up copies. I'd start taking them with you wherever you go.
And I'm on small little roll cards to send
there
out.
There you go. Here at the conference, some of the things that you found important, what are the top agenda items you want to see implemented here?
You know, I would tell you, really just the focus on regionalism start there, that, you know, you have a lot of different things, whether it's the healthcare aspects. I think education is incredibly important. Fifth Third's a big believer in that. You know, starting at early youth education, following it through. We were a supporter of the governor's initiative on the foundation to help put some dollars in there. Let's send these good kids off to college, give them an education, but let's get them to stay here. You know, we can't let the talent continue to just develop and leave. We got to create, and that's where you need an urban environment and a downtown to be created so people have the quality of life items to say, I'm committed to Michigan. I want to be part of it.
But you know, you go in downtown Detroit now, people are on the sidewalks. It is busy. Restaurants are opening up. Even apartment buildings up and down Cass Avenue, which once upon a time was not the greatest place to be. Apartments are at 95% occupancy and over. They're coming back.
Phenomenal. You take the morning session, they talk about downtown and things have been accomplished there and by successful people who have committed this town in terms of Roger Penske and Dan Gilbert, and hats off to them. And, you know, look at this weekend. We got the Grand Prix. You got a vibrant downtown. Festivals. That's what a city is about. I mean, you know, we've got a lot to do to compete with the Chicago, but we're going that way.
Well, it's a great step in the right direction, and those steps continue to be made. David Jaradot, President and CEO of Fifth Third Bank, thank you for joining us tonight on Michigan, Powering Michigan's Future. Great to have you.
Great. Now you put a face with a name, and you can see I got that face for radio.
No. I tell you, you've got a face for loaning money. It's an honest face. And again, Barbara Rawson, President and CEO, Henry Ford Health Systems in Macomb. We have two people who made Macomb their home on our Powering Michigan Future night. Great to have you.
Thank
great
you.
To see you.
Enjoy.
Have a wonderful time. Keep doing the good work, and let's make Southeast Michigan the attractive place it's going to be.
And we will. And it already is.
Thanks, guys.
Powering Michigan's Future, live from the 2013 Mackinac Policy Conference on beautiful Mackinac Island. I'm Ken Rogolski. Thank you for joining us on News Talk 760 WJR.